We have a forum. Okay, this meeting is called to order. And please let the minutes show that we have with us today Joe Blankenship, Lynn Boggs, Beth Cuevas, and Kelly Bailey. And of course, we have Aaron Chestnut. Do we have any changes to the agenda?
Yes, please. Can someone move to add section 6.1A, declare surplus items, and add onto the agenda 7.5, fields insurance update?
I move that we add those two items to the agenda.
Do I have a second?
Second.
All in favor say aye. Opposed? Thank you. Okay. I'm having a hard time finding my agenda. You all mind? Oh, my ears is different. This is the other page. Yes, sorry, please. Do I have a motion to approve the minutes from the February meeting?
I'll so move.
I have a motion. Do I have a second?
Second.
I have a second from Beth. All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Thank you. I look around the room and I do not see anyone that is outside of the board. And please let the minutes show that we also have with us today Molly Pope. Okay, do we have any announcements? And we do. Drum roll. How did we get go with the tax election?
Yay. Right, so we passed with 70%.
Yay!
So that's wonderful, wonderful news.
What is the process for that? Do we have to have that validated in some way?
So the police jury actually, what is the term? It's not canvass, it's not ratify. Is it canvass?
It is canvass.
Yes. It's canvass.
It's canvassing. I don't know why it takes so long, but that's what it is.
It's just the first meeting of the month.
So that's when we'll do that. But according to the Secretary of State, we have a 70% pass to go forward with renewing our millage. So very excited about that. Thank you for everyone who voted.
Yay.
And encouraged others to go vote as well. A reminder that financial disclosures are due to the State Board of Ethics on May 15th. You can turn those in yourselves on the front page of that form. There's several different ways it tells you how to turn it in. If you would like me to send it in with our packet, please get it to me by the 5th, which is what, 4 days from now?
What is that for?
That's the financial disclosures we have to do every year. You're at a higher tier with the police jury, so you're sending it in through them. You only have to do it once, so your higher tier with them covers you as far as this is concerned.
Yeah, ours is due May 15th.
Mm-hmm.
Yours due?
It is, yes.
Yeah. Molly's taken care of because she's on another board.
Tourist.
Okay.
I already did mine.
I think you've given me yours.
Okay.
Yes.
Mine's sent in.
Yours is sent in. I just got Angela's. Do I have yours? I think I have yours. And I think I've got Tranquil's as well. Send out another reminder, but I think we're looking good right now. Also wanted to let you guys know that the summer reading program is starting in June. We run that June through July. This year the theme is Oceans of Possibilities. We're looking at doing a sort of kickoff party, probably a carnival on the lawn style event for that. We're kind of going back and forth right now if we're going to do it here or if we're going to make that like our first big event at the new Singer West Central branch, because they do have a lot of outside space there. They've got that whole side yard. So haven't totally finalized that, but I'll let y'all know when that's going on. And then the last announcement I wanted to share was for our next, and there is a typo in there, for our next board meeting in August is when we do my annual evaluation. So please have those forms to Angela so she can kind of collate all of that. by, I have August 20th on there. That should be July 20th, y'all. Sorry. And I will send that, the evaluation form and some supporting documents that you can refer to as you're going through. I'll get that to you by the end of May.
And for everybody's edification, the reason they come to me is because I'm tallying it and then doing a simple average to give her the final score, because there are scores, and her raise is based on her score. So that's why it's important. And then everyone has a place to put in comments, and what takes me a little bit of time is to copy all the comments that all of you give onto one form, and so that's why I need a little time before August 1st. The easiest thing to do, once you fill it out, you can do it, you can do it in pen or pencil, whatever, and then just scan it and email it to me, and that's just, that's really the simplest thing to do.
You want to scan it as a PDF?
Yeah, it helps do it as a PDF, yeah.
But you'll send out the info to us?
I will, okay. Yes.
Okay, so moving on then, let's go into old business. The first is the West Central, formerly Singer Library Branch.
So we did our soft opening on Saturday, this past Saturday. Had a really good time and a really good turnout. We had 46 people show up, and for a branch that usually if we get 10 in a day, we're like, wow, that was a lot for us. So we were really happy with that, and I thank y'all for your support in getting us there. And also Molly was trooper. She was there all day with us while we were open, just chatting up with everybody and having a good time.
And telling them to go vote.
And telling them to go vote. And Joe and Beth also stopped by, really appreciate that. We had a couple of the police jurors come by during the day too. And it was really, really exciting for me to see some couples who had been with the library before, or actually the wife had been with the library before, but the husband hadn't. And this is an older couple. And they stopped by and she renewed her stuff, and he got his first library card with us and was telling us that he reads constantly. So we're like, well, come on back, you know? So I had a really good time with that. And then I was so very pleasantly surprised. These two teenage boys walked over from a nearby housing. And it's like, it's unusual to get teenage boys to come to the library on their own.
On a Saturday morning.
Yeah, on a Saturday morning too. So I was really happy with that. I think we had a really good turnout. I'm a little biased, but I think it's a beautiful place. We've done a lot with it.
So did someone engage with the teenagers to tell them what kind of things that would be available?
Michelle was really good with them. Yeah, she took time to chat with them and make sure they know when we've got activities going on and what our hours are if they want to come use the computers or whatever. So I think it's
good. They can download music or the
things
that might be interesting.
So that went really well. We did have a lady, Dawn from the DeQuincy News, was there. She took a couple pictures, and I think she's planning to write an article. And we made sure to let her know we are also going to do a grand opening. This was kind of just, our soft opening. And of course, we're going to invite her and a bunch of the other regional media whenever we do the grand opening. I don't have a date set on that firmly yet, because I'm waiting to hear when the rest of our furniture will arrive. I want everything kind of in place whenever we do this. But I am hoping end of this month we'll be able to do a grand opening, maybe early June. So I'll, of course, keep y'all informed as that firms up more.
Okay, moving on. How's it going at Eastboro Garden?
Oh, before we do, we added that agenda item to declare surplus items, and I've got a list to share with you guys. The main item on this list is the 600 square foot building we just evacuated and moved to Singer.
Owned that building?
I'm sorry?
We owned that building?
We owned the building, not the land it is on.
Okay. So what are we doing with that?
So if we declare it surplus, I'm putting it in an auction and having someone haul it off.
Yeah. Thank you.
And then the other items on this list are the bits of furniture that are left in there that we have no real use for.
We already chose to do the auction. We do the auction every summer with Peterson's.
I could get it. That's who I'm going to go with.
I think it's usually July, if I'm not mistaken.
I don't know when the one for Beauregard is. The next one I saw that they're doing is June 18th or something out of Burton Coliseum.
Oh, wait, yeah, that's not ours.
So, I mean, if we can have another one sooner, then by all means, I'll do that. But I have sent the landowners a letter saying we will be off the property by, I think I said August 1st or August 31st, I forget which. So one of these summer auctions, I want to put this in and have it gone.
So we have to move it down there?
No.
Oh, you advertise it as is and people have to come get it themselves?
Yes.
Are you giving it away if they'll take it?
I'm not planning to put a reserve on it. I mean, the board has final say in that. Do you want me to put a reserve on it? I don't even know if this building will last the move.
What about abandonment? If we don't have a seller, I mean a buyer.
I honestly don't know what we would have to do to get it moved then. But I have committed to the landowner that we will be off of their property by whatever date that was.
It seems like if it's not moved, it's theirs if we're not off by the time you've set.
If they want it, I wouldn't have a problem with it.
Yeah.
But I have, through the grapevine, heard of a few people who are interested in buying it. So I don't think that will be an issue.
That's good.
Could be a good camp for someone.
Yeah.
Yeah. Whenever this happened with the East Beauregard branch, however many years ago that was, I don't remember who it was, but some lady I heard bought it and put it on the back part of her property for her kids to use as a playhouse.
Do I need a playhouse in my Do you need a plant shed?
A she shed.
Okay, so
my whole house is a she shed.
Do you need a motion that we accept this?
Yes, and we need a motion to approve those items on the list as surplus.
I move that we approve the items listed on the surplus items for May of 22.
I have a motion to on the floor. Do I have a second?
A second.
I have a second from Lynn. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you. And now we move on to East Beauregard.
Yes, and I do have news with East Beauregard. I'm frustrated with Beauregard news, folks. So,
proud.
yeah, I know. So, when I sent the packet out to you, our plan was for the Beauregard news to advertise the bid on the April 22nd, 29th, May 6th. Well, the Monday after April 22nd, I come in, go to the paper to try and find it. It's not printed. It got lost in translation somewhere. They did not get it in the paper. So everything has been shifted back a while. And then, of course, this past Friday, which was supposed to be the new first publication of the advertisement for bid, our paper doesn't get delivered. And it still wasn't delivered today.
I didn't get mine either.
So we called around. They are sending us a replacement, but that didn't help me for today. We called around and the assessor's office had received theirs. So they looked for me and they said, yes, it's there. It really is. I got a copy of it. We photocopied it. So it really was there. So it is now being advertised on April 29th, May 6th, and May 13th in the Beauregard News. We are going to have a pre-bid meeting on May 16th here at 3:30. That's just for any contractors who are interested in making a bid and have any questions. They can come meet with the architect and get those questions answered. And then the bid opening itself will be at the police jury office with Brian McReynolds on May 25th at 3 o'clock. Y'all are not required to be there. You are, of course, welcome to be there. I will be there. So that's what's going on with East Bibble.
Let's just hope we get something that's affordable this time.
Yeah.
So are y'all actually wanting to buy like a trailer?
It's a manufactured building. So it's one of those, they make it in the facility, wherever that facility is. And then the site work is putting the foundation, having all the plumbing and electric and all that kind of stuff. So it's about 1,500 square feet. It is wind rated, hurricane rated for what's required in Beauregard Parish.
And how much land is that you have right there?
It's around a quarter of an acre. It's 100 feet of frontage by 200 deep. So I think that works out to around a quarter acre.
The manufactured building, it does kind of like a double Y. It doesn't have any wheels on it, but it's a double Y.
And hooked together and roofed.
Now, did they donate that one to y'all, or did y'all have to buy
it? The land was donated.
Donated.
Yeah.
Remind me what our other agenda item is, the second one.
Six. 7.5, Fields Insurance Update.
7.5.
So at the end of new business, we're going to add Fields Insurance Update.
Okay. Moving on to 75th Anniversary Committee.
Julie sent this written report for us, and I think several of y'all were in the meeting for that committee. They've had several activities over the past quarter that tie into 75th anniversary. Some of those were more active programs, and some were more passive programs that we've done. For instance, the 75 golden tickets tucked into different books throughout the system, and when you check it out, you get a little gift kind of thing. And we've done a guess the numbers of items in each branch, at each branch, and the person who gets closest to the correct number of physical items in that branch as of a certain day will get a prize, that sort of thing. In addition to that, we've done, oh goodness, what have we done? I think we did a community movie showing in Maryville one evening. I think that was around Valentine's Day we did that. A couple of other things that we've done over the past few months. Going into the summer, we're going to do some tie-ins with the summer reading kickoff party. We've got plans to be at Watermelon Festival and do some promotions there. And then there's a back to school bash in August that we're going to be at. And I forget who is doing that back to school bash, but we will be there. And then Julie also mentioned that the Diamond Club, that reading challenge we've got going this year, is doing really well. We've got 128 signups as of April 20th, I think, is when she gave me this write-up. And she said over 1,200, almost 1,300 books logged among those 128 people who are participating. And I'm going to add a few more tonight when I go update my login. So that one's going pretty well. So we're doing good with 75th anniversary stuff. We've also got the 1,000 Books Before Kindergarten program update. This is the one we got a grant from the local Rotary Club, who got a grant from Save the Children to fund our initial costs in starting this program. After the grant, we'll just assume the cost of it and keep going as long as there is interest in it. So it's very much what the title says. It's reading 1,000 books with your child before they start kindergarten, and encouraging those lifelong love of reading, encouraging those early literacy and pre-literacy skills to get them ready to start learning how to read on their own when they do hit kindergarten. We've had, I think we've got 50, I believe is what it is. Yes, 50 readers as of April 18th. I think we've gone up a few more since then, but I did not look today. What I was really happy with, I do think we're going to hit my initial goal of around the 200, 250 mark by the end of the year, although the grant period doesn't go that long. But I noticed on April 1st, we had I was on the midday show with KPLC talking about our Spring Storytime Spectacular program that we did on April 6th. So between April 1st, when that promo went out, and like 2 days after the event on April 6th, we increased the number of people registered by about 43%.
Wow.
So it was, I mean, we're talking
advertising.
Yeah. We're not talking giant numbers, but giant percentages, and that's always fun to look at. That's how you build, right?
Go back to it again.
Yeah.
What are your costs involved with something like that? You said they're
actually pretty minimal. Most of the grant money we used on advertising, honestly. Okay. Aside from a few incentives, like whenever they first register, they get a little thing of bubbles bubble solution. Whenever they turn in their first log, so the first 100 books, they get a little stuffed animal. When they turn in their fifth log, so they've read 500 books, they get a, I think it's a collapsible plastic bowl with a lid on it. And then whenever they turn in their final log, they get a book that they can keep. I think the book we have right now is, I forget the title, but it's about a child starting school for the first time and going to kindergarten, which I thought was appropriate to finish this. And then we're also going to do a graduation ceremony for all the kids who have reached 1,000 books once a year. I honestly didn't think we would need to do a graduation ceremony this first year. I thought it would take a little time for people to reach that. We've already had one little girl hit the 1,000 books. So her mom reads to her constantly. So we're really excited about that. But yeah, the incentives and then printing costs for some of the information sheets and that sort of thing. Whenever they register, if they register in person as opposed to online, we give them a folder. It's got several different info sheets in it and the first log. So that sort of thing. We do have it set up with Beanstack, which is the software we use now to track reading challenges. So it can be done totally digitally, and they can just come in and pick up a prize whenever they feel like it after they've earned it. So we've got a couple different ways that people can participate.
Has this been promoted at the child care centers?
We have reached out with the child care centers and given them the stuff to promote it. I don't know if the stuff makes it home or not. We've also worked with Premier Pediatrics here in town. I think she's got some of our posters up in her waiting room. She was involved in helping us decide, you know, making sure the incentives are age appropriate, or at least age appropriate with adult supervision. So she, Miss Midget, what's her first name? Jennifer. Jennifer Midget was involved with that.
Is she a pediatrician?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think she's family a nurse practitioner with a specialty in pediatrics.
What about all the schools or preschools?
We have been in touch with Head Start, and actually Megan talked with their staff on one of their staff, wasn't an in-service day, but that sort of thing. The other schools we were at, is it Carver here in town? Yes, Carver. When they did a family literacy night and promoted it through that. So we've reached out through those avenues and continue every now and then to poke them again and say, hey, do you need any more information to send home or anything like that? And we've done a lot of radio advertising on this one over the past 3 or 4 months. So that one's going pretty well. We're happy with that. I do want us to, and I think that one's going to pick up more with summer reading program when they can do it in conjunction. Because for a lot of families, that's when they think about bringing the kids to the library and doing these programs. So I think we'll get some more enrollment at that point.
Are y'all having story time for the children here at the library?
Every Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday in DeRidder, and once a month at the outlying branches.
And do you still go to some other places and read?
No, the child care centers have not let us come back yet. Mm-hmm. So, but whenever we do things like Pioneer Days out in Maryville, we do story time with that. Mm-hmm. And whenever we go to this back to school bash, we'll do story time there. Mm-hmm. So when we have those opportunities, we do that as well. And we keep asking, can we come back?
Yeah. It's a great program.
It is.
Because they can never catch up if they don't do that.
No. And I was looking at some of the statistics, and it's 50% of the kids in Louisiana, third grade, are reading under their level, and they just never seem to catch up. Mm-hmm. So hopefully we can be one little piece of combating that.
Anything else under old business? I would like to add just that I didn't say when we were talking about the election, but I think that Erin hit every organization here in town that I could see. I was even talking to somebody one day and I said, oh, I don't remember that she hit us. And so we're calling Michelle, yeah, I was there about 3 weeks ago. So I think she hit everybody. Okay, new business, South Beauregard representative.
So Miss Candace's term expires on June 13th, so next month. And she's been a big help to me in that process of buying the West Central property. You know, she's a realtor, so when I had questions, I called her and she answered. But I know she's having a really hard time making the meetings. I think in the 3 or so years since she took over that seat, I think she's been able to make it to 2 or 3 meetings. And I think it's just her schedule doesn't allow for coming.
But that also includes online meetings, which mm-hmm. should be easier to
mm-hmm. yeah.
get to.
So, and for today's meeting, you know, it's in the packet that we're discussing this, but this is coming up. I didn't get an RSVP of I can't make it to the meeting or I will be at the meeting even. So I think my stuff is still getting to her. As far as I know, her address has not changed. I send stuff to her work address. And I text her when I text all of you mm-hmm. the, hey, don't forget we've got this coming up, or hey, check your email, I sent a packet. I do include her in those, and it's pretty rare that I get any response. So, not that she's doing anything wrong or anything, right. but we're not getting a whole lot of input from mm-hmm. them. And especially considering that, okay, we've got Singer under control now, we're moving to East Beauregard. As soon as that's done, I think we've decided that our plan is to try to get something mm-hmm. bigger and better for South Beauregard, since that's where the population growth is. I'd really like to have someone involved in that community here to speak for them while we try to go through that process. Right. So,
and to speak to them.
Absolutely, mm-hmm. absolutely.
Do you have anyone in mind?
I do not, but I believe Miss Molly does.
her name is Bridget Saunier. She is from Ragley Community. She graduated from South Beauregard. She has, her maiden name is Bruce, but her mother was a Habit, so that means she's kin to everybody in Ragley. She used to be the elementary librarian. And for some reason she decided to go back to the classroom, but she teaches at South Beauregard. She's very vocal. She knows everyone in town. She has 4 little girls in school, so they're active in t-ball and baseball, whatever little girls are in, and basketball and dance line. And so she's out in the community all the time. Her grandmother is a very faithful patron of the library. And I think it would do her grandmother's heart good to see some improvements. And I've spoken to her, and she said she was real excited that if y'all would have her, she would be honored.
Okay. She sounds like she'd be like in her 40s, 50-ish.
Oh, no. She is maybe 40.
Oh, that's good.
So yeah, she's relatively, she might be older than that. She might be early 40s.
That she has an interest in it, though.
Yes.
And would be able to make the meetings.
And she knows a lot about libraries because she was a librarian for probably over 10 years. So she knows the ins and outs of libraries.
That sounds good. Yay. Sounds good. Thank you.
And her oldest daughter is like a 9th grader, and her youngest is like a kindergartner, so she'll always have, you know, for many years she'll have kids in school.
Poor thing. All girls. So what's the move? Do we have to vote on this, or we just give that name to the police jury?
Y'all
recommend it?
Move and approve recommending it to the jury, and then they get final say.
So are you going to make the motion?
I'll make the motion to nominate Bridget Saunier as our South Beauregard representative.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Karen, are you going to get something from the other lady stating that she wants to resign? Or?
Well, I mean, the term expires.
Oh, she's expiring.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're not firing her.
Well, actually, she would have gotten the packet where it says we're discussing it, and mm-hmm. she didn't even comment to you to say, I want to stay on, or
right.
anything.
Okay, All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you very much.
So then what, these minutes go to the police jury and they would be the ones to make the recommendation?
Yes. Yes. So when I do that, I send it to the personnel committee over there, and I don't think he's on the personnel committee, so I'll CC John Stebbins, who was the juror from down there. So that, because if he has any say and no, I want someone else different on there, it gives him the opportunity to do that. Most of the time, it's more of a courtesy than anything else, but they do absolutely have that right to say, no, I want so-and-so.
And once they approve it, then you would contact her?
Once they approve it, I will get her number from you, call her and say, hey, they approved it. But the police jury themselves will send out that oath of office, like you got last time we renewed yours, and that information. So we started that recently. So I don't know what prompted that, but I guess it's good to have more paper trail to follow.
Right. We need more oaths.
Anything else on that? Then moving on, you want to talk about disability insurance.
Yes, we have the opportunity. The police jury changed how they're doing some of their health insurance things for their employees. And Kathy Saunier contacted me and said, hey, this is one of the changes we're making. We are now going to offer group coverage for short-term and long-term disability for the qualifying full-time employees. So she gave me what the cost would be, at least for this first year, to go through that, and that, hard to beat that cost.
That's what people pay for on a per person basis.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
That's why group plans are beneficial.
Better than a lot of group plans.
I looked at it, and I think it's a really good thing to offer to our staff. It could be, I don't know that it would be a deciding factor in retaining employment or not, but I think it definitely plays into that. And then when I saw that, looked at the budget, and the general health insurance coverage went up a little this year. It did not go up as much as we had budgeted for, so even if we do offer this, we're still within the budget for personnel expenses.
Now, does the employee pay part of this?
No. Okay. Nope, that is entirely on the employer.
So how does this play out for the individual when they leave employment, retire, whatever? In some places, they can continue the same thing at some cost, and in some places they just don't have it anymore.
That I don't know.
That's kind of important when you're retired and want to get closer to needing long-term care.
Yeah.
Any that I've ever been involved in, it discontinues when you retire.
Yeah, I don't think that's short and long term.
Yeah.
It's offered. I don't think it is.
I've not seen it, but where I've ever worked, it's mm-hmm. when you either leave the job or retire.
Because it's to cover when you can't work.
Right. So why would they cover it?
Oh, I was thinking it was long term for, I was thinking.
Oh, okay.
Long term disability.
Now, the long term disability, I read my documents right. If you are on the long-term care disability, if that kicks in while you're employed, it stays until you're either returned to work, or if you're, I guess, permanently disabled for whatever reason, it will pay out until you reach Social Security's retirement age, and then it stops. I was also really happy to see that they added an EAP mm-hmm. to our plan this year.
Y'all didn't have one.
Well, if they did, it was not well advertised because I didn't know anything about it. But I was really happy to see that we've got that now.
And Kathy's amazing.
She is.
She's amazing.
So does this sound like something the board would approve doing, or?
So we're talking $500 and something dollars a month here for the two?
$62, $68, $32. Yeah, $500 a month. So it would be $4,288 for the year for both.
It's a very nice benefit. A lot of people don't offer it. So, I mean, it's a little above and beyond.
Yeah. Right now, we do have opportunities for employees to do voluntary, short-term and long-term, on their own dime. I don't think very many of us participate in that.
It's a good incentive.
Yeah.
Well, I move that we offer the short-term and long-term disability insurance.
I'll second that.
I have a motion to approve adding short and long-term disability insurance, and I have a second. Is there any further discussion? If not, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
And opposed? Thank you. Okay, let's talk about Juneteenth versus Martin Luther King.
Yeah, I wanted to bring this up. Y'all probably remember last year, both federal and state added Juneteenth as a recognized holiday. Our library has never closed or considered Martin Luther King Jr. Day a holiday. And of course, right now we don't do Juneteenth either, since that one's fairly new as a recognized holiday. To me, it feels a little dismissive to not do anything for either of them. And I have a problem with that. I do think that as a service organization, there's a reason we have as many open days as we do, so I definitely weigh that against this and recognize that y'all would too. But I do think when this kind of came to mind, I'm like, okay, what do other libraries do in the state? So we have 64 library systems, public library systems in the state. I was able to look at 54 of those, including us. Of those, 93% of them close for at least one of those 2 days. Several of them close for both. So I don't think, as far as public perception goes, it is out of the realm of normality for a public library to close for one or both of these days. I don't want us to close for both of these days, in part because Martin Luther King Jr. Day is so close to right after the Christmas and New Year holidays, when we have several days closed already. As well as, we take the opportunity on some of those holidays that we don't close for, like Martin Luther King and Columbus Day and that sort of thing, to sometimes close to the public and do staff training, because it's a good day to get those in when the public don't expect us to be open anyway, but the staff are still working and doing their professional development. But like I said, not doing anything for either of these 2 days that are very significant to, I don't know if this is the appropriate phrase or not, but the Black experience in America feels kind of dismissive to me, so I would like us to consider at least closing for one of those, and my recommendation would be June 19th.
Are you open for Good Friday? Because I can remember that when Martin Luther King came up, that holiday, it was a choice of Good Friday or Martin Luther King. And that's how that evolved. And so some people would be open, you know, that one or not, and not the other.
No, we are closed on Good Friday.
Okay.
Because that's a state holiday? It's not a federal member.
I really don't remember.
It's definitely local tradition to close on Good Friday. Mm-hmm.
You gotta have your fish fry.
Fish boil.
Yeah, no, we don't close for Martin Luther King Day, we don't close for President's Day, we don't close for Veterans Day, we don't close for Columbus Day. There are probably more that a lot of people do close for that we don't, but those are the ones that come to mind.
Mardi Gras.
We don't close for Mardi Gras. We don't close for All Saints Day, which several of the parish offices do.
Well, if we were to close for one, I certainly think the summer one would be better, because we do have a lot. And then the summer kids are out of school, so they already have opportunities to come to the library regularly, where during, back in February, they're more likely to be in school and maybe needing resources.
Right.
Well, MLK is a school holiday.
It is, yes, it is.
Definitely a school holiday. And they always have a big celebration here, too.
Yeah.
I don't know what they do for what's done for Juneteenth.
That's more of a, I guess, a traditional holiday, but, you know, I don't know many businesses here in town that would close for that.
It's, to me, always been more of a fun day.
Yeah, a fun day.
Whereas Martin Luther King was more of a, you know, solemn honoring.
But June 19th is becoming more and more recognized.
No, do we have a lot, our offices closed on Martin Luther King Day?
Our offices?
No, I mean in town, like the courthouse.
A lot of them are, yes.
Yeah, well, this Juneteenth now is going to be a federal holiday and a state holiday, so you'll see them closed. The banks and the courthouse will be closed, you know, other businesses will be open, just like they always are. The mail won't run, you know.
Okay, I didn't realize that.
Well, then I move that we add June 19th as a paid holiday.
I have a motion to add June 19th as a paid holiday. Do I have a second?
I'll second it.
I have a second. Is there any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, thank you. Item 4, approved policy regarding filming and photography in the library.
Okay, let me pass out an updated one. When I sent this to you, I had this policy over with Steve at the DA's office for him to review it. And he came back and said, my recommendation is you do a blanket, no filming or photography in the library, period.
And this is by other people other than the staff?
This is by people other than the staff, yes. And I said, you know, that really presents a problem for me. I don't want to discourage the mom from taking pictures of her own child enjoying story time. Because, you know, her sharing that with her neighbor is a lot more likely to get neighbor to bring her kid than telling them, hey, I went to story time. And things similar to that, or even something as simple as, you know, now it's uncommon for people to sit there and write notes to themselves when they're doing research to try and do a bibliography later. A lot of times it's snap a shot of the title page and refer to it later.
Right.
That's assuming you're not just using one of those softwares that automatically updates it. But if we were to have a blanket, no filming, no photography, all of those things would be violating that policy. And if we didn't do anything about that, and then someone did something that we objected to, they would have very blatant grounds to say, hey, that's discrimination, you're not enforcing this policy equally. So I expressed that to Steve, and he said, okay, if this is what you're going with, here's my recommendation. And his recommended addition is highlighted there. Otherwise, it is the policy proposal you had in your packet. And I will say, when I was drafting this policy, it is very heavily borrowed from several other libraries' policies that the state library was pushing and saying, hey, if you're going to do something like this, you might want to refer to these.
Well, I move that we accept this policy that's been drafted for recording in the library.
I have a motion to approve the policy regarding filming and photography in the library.
I second.
And I have a second. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Thank you. Item 5 is insurance.
So I have been informed that as of April 1st, the Hyatt Community Center building is no longer insured. Our contents are, the building is not.
Are they planning to let that building just fall in? Who owns it?
The police jury owns it.
I think it all went by the value of the building. When we renewed our insurance, they asked us to kind of cut anything that wasn't up to a certain value, because it was crazy for us to be paying it anyway, because the deductible didn't meet it. So it really went by the value. It wasn't just Hyatt that's going to be excluded. There are several buildings throughout the parish that's going to be excluded.
Yeah.
Is that, well, it doesn't have anything to do with the library, but is the building used for anything else other than just the libraries or room?
I think there is a room that's got like a Hyatt school museum in it.
Yeah.
I think that it's not the same building we're in, but like the cafeteria building is often rented out for reunions or parties, something like that. I know they used to be coming fairly regularly to use the gym for like little dribblers kind of stuff. I don't know if they still do that or not.
Probably not.
What do you think is the value of the contents that we have there?
I was looking at that recently and I don't remember off the top of my head, because we are, in addition to having the branch there, we've got some stuff just stored there in some of the extra rooms.
Yeah.
But honestly, a lot of the stuff that is stored there last year, you guys declared surplus and we're just waiting for an auction we can get rid of it.
Let's get rid of it.
Yeah.
So it's not a big value.
It's not a big value.
Well, I think we all talk about whether we need to actually have a branch there, or if the patrons that go there couldn't be, I mean, you got about 20 minutes to Singer and you got about 20 minutes to Maryville from where they are. Is that going to be a big problem for those people that live in that area if we close it?
Well, we've got about less than a dozen regular patrons who go there. I think talking to them, from what my clerks out there tell me, they think that most of them would be okay with making the drive, as long as they still get that personalized service, which both of those other branches are small enough to still do that, I firmly believe. We're not seeing enough traffic to really warrant keeping this up. I think there will be some upheaval if we were to shut it down.
But if they can go a little bit further and have a nicer place, be open more hours, have more things there for them.
Yeah.
They won't go for that, Molly.
It's the mental.
It's sentimental.
Yeah.
It's a very touchy,
when they close the school, but we all survived that.
Yeah, it just didn't go well.
Yeah.
and that's my area. And I can see the logic to it, but it's going to be a very tender spot.
Yeah.
It's not going to be easy without any controversy. It's not going to be really easy cutting.
Well, talks to the 11 that still go there,
I don't think that's going to be where the problem comes from.
That's what I'm saying. So the people that don't come,
they'll be the ones raising the stake.
I would worry about it then.
Yeah. Now,
I think Lynn knows where I'm coming through on that one.
I can definitely. This came up pretty close to when I was going to send this out to you guys, so I've only got like 3 months of history there as far as activity at the branch goes. I can certainly pull more of that for our next meeting to discuss this further. But I wanted you guys to be aware, I'm currently in a building that is not insured.
Because then if they don't keep up the building because it's not insured, then it could be more risky for your staff to be in there.
Yeah.
If something happens to the staff while they're out there, I mean, the building, something falls in, the roof falls in, ceiling falls in, it's on us.
Yeah,
right?
That's not a good idea.
Ma'am?
I said that's not a good idea.
No.
Mm-hmm. But
disability insurance.
Well, but that's the, that would be the reason.
That's not why I put that on this agenda.
That would be the reason for us not to have a library there at this time.
Yeah.
You could move it to the other two at this time until another building might come available.
You can blame it on us there.
Y'all got big shoulders.
Very big shoulders.
Okay.
I mean, and it's not, it is the truth. We're no longer going to cover the insurance.
And it isn't safe if you're in a building that's not insured, then what happens to?
And you know, and you really can, you can direct them to call the police jury for any questions or comments.
Patrons that are going in would be at risk.
That's really the way to handle it.
They can call their.
And I hate that.
Police jury members.
Yes.
They can call him.
It's unfortunate, and I know people, Ms. Molly, I know exactly what you're saying. I've had to deal with it and.
Well, it won't flare for long, if they're not using it, they can, they'll fuss for a little bit and then.
Die out.
There's nothing else.
And if it was, you know, if the expense of it was more, we would have carried the insurance, but there were just so many smaller buildings that we dropped that we should have been dropping them years ago, really. And that was at the advice of our insurer.
And if it becomes that verbal, then they're going to be verbal and then we can maybe, you know, change the direction. But.
Well, we can always tell them that we will be on the lookout for an appropriate site down there.
Yeah.
You know, but temporarily, at least it won't happen there, but then, you know.
I thought it was more the building than having a library there, really. Am I wrong? Is it about having a library in Fields or is it having, or about?
I think it would be, bottom line, that they would want a library in Fields.
But they're not using it. Right?
They don't know that.
Right. So it really is about the building. It's about the history.
It's going to be a lot of things. It's going to be very controversial.
She's absolutely right. That Hyatt Community Center is.
It's.
It's a piece of their, it's a piece of their heart.
It is.
But they're not going to be able to use it if it's not insured. Nobody's going to want to use it as their group because they're at risk. They're putting their guests.
And I don't know how far it's going to, I don't know if the people doing the birthdays and things, I haven't asked, but.
Yeah.
If it's not insured, that's going to all have to stop.
Is the whole campus not insured or just the main building?
I'm not exactly sure.
No, we don't know.
But I can find out tomorrow.
No admittance if you're not insured, y'all, that would be.
Oh, yeah, because if it's not insured.
Right, y'all would be at risk.
We can't.
There's going to be like, I'm only going by what I see in the DeQuincy News. There's supposed to be like a little farmer's market there next weekend.
It is a good thing for the community.
It is, it really is.
Not ever, it wasn't a sound decision. Some of us felt the same way. Let's leave it, but it was just one of them, it's a no-brainer for us whenever you look at the value of a building versus what we were paying.
Is the farmer's market going to be inside or outside the building?
I don't know. I just read that in the paper. I'm not sure.
And do we want to take action today or do we want to gather more information?
I will say any action we take today needs to be temporary until we can do a meeting where on the agenda it actually says what we're doing. Because this just on the agenda said an update on the insurance for the building. It did not say.
Okay. Well, we can table it till next meeting if you bring it back as next meeting.
Okay.
As a motion to. Mm-hmm.
Erin, and if you'll remind me tomorrow, we'll ask.
It's your building now.
Get clarification if it's just that section or if it's the whole building.
But temporarily, I think your staff needs to not be in there.
Okay.
Is it bad? I didn't understand what you said.
But we got people working in an insured building.
Oh, okay. I didn't just understand.
I'm not too sure.
I agree with that.
Erin, is it on the same grounds as the old school?
It's inside the old.
Inside it, I wasn't for sure.
It's the library of the old school.
It's kind of like the East Boulevard school that's in Sugar Town.
It's in really bad shape.
It's got little pieces to it here and there.
It is a dreary building. That was creepy when we worked in there.
Okay, so Joe is saying that we need to get people out of there.
Okay.
I don't think that's safe, but I don't think we should, because we'll be at risk.
Yeah.
It is assuming
a risk.
Right.
So y'all make a motion. Y'all tell me what you want to do.
Is that a motion?
Well, then I move that we close operations down there until either we have insurance on that building or we make arrangements with another building.
Well, we're not buying the insurance, though. I don't hear that.
Right, that's what I'm saying. So if they turn around and decide they won't insure it, we'll revisit our thing. But with that, not with the building not being covered by insurance, and we're not going to supply.
Do you know
insurance.
What we were paying for insurance?
Oh, I have no idea what your building insurance was.
I can find
was.
Out and bring that back if you would like.
Well, only if we get flagged that we.
But
I mean, there's still.
We're not suggesting that we're going to pick up insurance.
No,
because we're using such a small portion of that building, it would make no sense.
I think it's just a stopgap until we decide what to do with the building, but for safety reasons.
Right. We need to say it's not safe for our staff to be working in an insured building.
I'm not sure, Ms. Molly.
Okay, because the cafeteria would be
insurable.
I'm not sure, but I'll try to find out tomorrow.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because possibly, you know, we could get a portion of the cafeteria for library.
Either. The building
I'll try not
becomes
to
insured
to do that
again, or we can find another location.
Do I have a second to Joe's motion?
A second.
Which is to pull the employees.
Ma'am.
Which is to pull the employees, correct?
Right.
I second. Lynn seconds the motion. Is there further discussion?
Does the police jury own all that now?
Yes, they own the land.
Because the school board didn't even own the land.
We own the land. I didn't do it.
All right, all in favor of suspending operation there for the protection of the employees as worded by Joe, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
This is temporary.
It depends on what happens to the building.
Okay.
What's it until?
All right.
So if some of the people that are upset want to go ahead and provide the insurance for the building, then we will be happy with it, you know? Right?
Yes.
I will find out to see if the cafeteria is insurable.
Because if the cafeteria is insurable, which is a separate building altogether, possibly we could use part of that.
Possibly. I will say in the past, we have had ongoing maintenance issues for a long time in our section of this building. In the past, when we had weeks when we were without, I think it was AC, it might have been heat in the winter, but something like that. I did speak with Brian to see if it was possible to like partition off part of that cafeteria building so that we would have a space that could be locked when we're not there, but still serve the people of that community. And it was not going to be possible without like some serious renovations, which they weren't wanting to do, and probably if they did it would cut into any of those reunions and stuff that they were able to offer in the first place. So I don't see that as a viable option, but that doesn't mean I won't ask.
Because there is the old cafeteria, the storeroom, which is a pretty big room. You know, if we had it on carts that you could push in and out, you could just put the books and stuff in there and lock it up when we weren't in use.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I have to leave. I have to pick one up.
That's just an option.
Thank you.
Just call me, Ms. Molly. I'll see what I can find out, okay?
Well, while we're shut down for a while, people can be directed to the other two libraries.
Absolutely.
And get established. Maybe it would not be world earth shattering.
Yeah. They'll see the joy of the other two libraries.
Right.
Yeah. They are nice places.
Mm-hmm. Well, I thought we weren't going to survive when they shut the school down, but they did.
Barely.
Yeah.
Barely.
But they did.
Barely.
But
again, it is for the safety,
it's a safety
of the,
issue for the staff,
of the employees.
And yeah, for the risk for the library. That's a big risk because we're letting patrons come into a building that's not insured,
right,
the staff that's not insured, and, you know, we would be liable for
the individuals going into that building.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I understand that perfectly clear, but it's just going to be a hard sale.
Right.
It's going to be a very hard sale.
Well, they can talk to their police juror.
They can talk to mm-hmm. their police mm-hmm. juror.
Because we didn't. We're not the ones that let the insurance go. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Thank you, folks. Okay, we'll move on to your reports.
Was there another?
Yes. That was it.
No, there was a where was the additional?
That was it. It was in your packet. It just wasn't on the agenda.
What?
The Fields insurance
stuff.
Well,
it's
right here. Right. It was in your packet. It just wasn't listed
on
the agenda.
Oh,
on
the agenda. I got
yeah.
you. I got
yeah.
you.
It
was
here. Okay. So the activities report, starting with personnel, we do have a new part-time clerk. Patricia Johnston was the school librarian out at East Bow for a long time.
She's good.
She is now our roving clerk, for lack of a better term. So in Singer and South Beauregard, she is often our second clerk on duty. We did that last year. I think we started that for both safety issues, but also to allow the branches an opportunity to do programs more often and have someone there who was a face that they see regularly leading those programs, instead of us having a program department person go out and lead it at each branch. So she's taken on that role. We're doing some senior staff training on leadership, coaching, team building skills, dealing with negative behaviors, the importance of documentation, that kind of stuff. We did one last month, we're doing one this month. So we've got that going on. We had an intern with us. She started in mid-February, and last Friday was her last day with us. Mm-hmm. So she worked about 230 hours with us, had some experience in several different departments, and she seemed to really enjoy it. She was very eager to learn about the different departments. She had some good suggestions whenever something would come up that she's working on. So I think it was a positive experience all around. She did write up a sort of summary of her time here, and that's included towards the back of your packet.
Where is she from?
She's from Puerto Rico.
Puerto Rico.
Yeah. So she seemed to really enjoy that, and I enjoyed having her. So she is.
Excuse me. If there's nothing else we're going to vote on, I need to scoot.
Okay.
After you leave me.
We're not voting on anything.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much.
I had to think about it for a second, but
no,
we're not.
I think not. Thank you. Thank you.
I did want to let you guys know we did have an employee fall in the hallway in March. So we've got the workman's comp stuff going through the channels that it does. So just be aware that that's going on.
Was there anything that made her fall?
She tripped on some boxes that were waiting to be
Imagine that.
What's the word? Not unloaded, but unpacked. That's the word. So
are we no longer keeping boxes in the hall?
We are no longer keeping boxes in the hall.
Just saying. All right, thank you.
Thank you. Let's see. I also wanted to mention on that first report, under miscellaneous, we had a note there that we're waiting to hear back on the parish's application for FEMA hazard mitigation grants. We put in an application with that to see if some of the building generator that we're planning to install could be covered through that. We're waiting to hear back on that. But I did want to add another little bullet point under miscellaneous there. We have received word that our funding through E-rate has been approved for 2022 to 2023. So that's a lot of our internet expense being covered by the government. And I don't think I have anything to add to what's written there about the facilities. So that's the same there. But I did want to share how excited I am with that next one, the goals tracking update. Now, I know I said the goals were going to come due June 1st, and it's a little early, but, you know, I can be happy early. I did on those two of those rows, the one on increasing foot traffic and increasing the circulation of physical items, I flip-flopped a couple of the columns. I flip-flopped our goal and our starting figure. So we are ahead of goal on all of these metrics. So my goal for increasing traffic on the student resource webpage was to go up to 140 hits as opposed to the 127. When we did that 127, we were on the old website and there was really only one avenue to get to that page. Now there are four avenues to get to that page. So it's not exactly an apples to apples thing there, but even if we take that 649 and divide it by four, we're still better off than 140. So I'm calling that one a win too. So that one made me happy. And then with the financial report, I need to redo that and send you guys an update because I noticed earlier today when I was looking at this, the revenue balance forward and then a few of the expense categories, the budgeted expense categories, don't reflect the changes that we made in the final amendments at our February meeting. So I do need to update that and send it back out to you guys. So I will work on that. Now that I've got the branch open and the election behind us, I can focus on something else. and then the rest, I think it's just our standard monthly report and statistics circulation report. And then the few things I had added about the disability insurance write-up and that statement from Nolani, our intern, in your packet. I think that's all I had.
On circulation, is the audio book part of the ebooks?
Let me look at that right one. The audiobooks on CD or Playaway would be under the AV column for central and branches, so it's not considered ebooks. But then any of the digital audiobooks, the downloadable ones and streaming ones, would be in, yes, those would count as ebooks under adult books. Okay. And for the ebooks, everything is just considered adult book, no matter what it is. I don't really have a way to differentiate age on that one.
Also, that surprises me, ebooks, that number's so much bigger than physical book. That's amazing.
Oh, it's huge. It's absolutely huge.
It's so much easier.
The last few months since December, that ebook number has shot up. In December and January, it was over 1 million.
That surprises me.
And that's not all coming from our collection per se, because we are also a mirror site for the Gutenberg Project, which is all of those out of copyright ebooks. So a lot of times when they go through our portal, if that's the right term, to get to that, we get those hits as well. And those, a big portion of that 1 million plus for those 2 months that it was there, did come from Gutenberg. And I have no idea what somebody was sitting there hammering away on trying to get on Gutenberg, but that's where it was. And it was legitimate hammering away, so we counted them.
Wow. Thank you, nerdy person.
I was still Aaron and them. I like the audiobooks a lot because I can be outside in the yard working or doing something in the house, busy, but listening to a book at the same time.
Yeah. So driving.
But mostly it's like yard work and stuff like that. I can listen at the same time as
try it.
I've done it in the past. And I liked it because I had a long commute to work and I would do it. And I just like to sit on the couch.
I like that too.
Yeah.
I read a lot of books.
I read in the books in the winter. Mm-hmm. And then I do audiobooks in the summer.
They are very good. And those little playaways are wonderful. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But the audiobooks, the fact that you can load them on your phone, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. be anywhere, put it on through your car speakers. And, cool.
Anything else for us?
I think that is it.
How many visits did you do? I mean, I heard, it seemed like you were everywhere. She was at Kiwanis, she was at Alliance, she was at...
I lost track. I did one of the Rotaries. I didn't do the Sunshine Rotary. I guess I should have. I didn't think it because I didn't want to get up that early.
You can
but
do video.
Yeah, I did Rotary, Kiwanis, Lions, Study Club, well, the Thursday Study Club. It seems like there was more, but...
Yeah, I know. I would just hear about you around town.
I hope it was good stuff.
Yeah. Well, everyone was saying is, I didn't know the library, fill in the blank.
Yeah.
Which is
yeah.
good.
Yeah.
It's a good thing.
It is.
Yeah, it was exactly the right fit.
Awesome.
Yeah. And I thought the piece that you sent out was good too. Mm-hmm. With all the things
the talking points.
Oh, okay. I'm glad that was part. I like that, yeah. I was hesitant to do the postcard because you never know. We get so many returned, non-deliverable or couldn't forward or whatever. And I haven't counted them yet. I've got a stack of them on my board table for how many were returned to us. And it feels like a big stack, but we had a pool of 1,300 that we sent out. So it's probably proportionally not a lot. It just feels like a lot when you're sitting there looking at the stack and it's like, was that money wasted? But I think overall it did more good than bad.
Mm-hmm. So you sent the postcard to the patron?
We sent the postcard. We took the registered voters list for Beauregard and our patron list and merged that. When, if they were on both, they got a postcard. If they were on both and didn't have an email address with us, they got a postcard. If they had an email address with us, they got the same thing in an email.
But the they call it a piece when it's exactly about this size, and for political purposes, that's what they call it. I don't know why, but they always call it a piece. And when I got it out of the mailbox, I thought it was another political piece. And then I saw, it's the library. But it didn't say vote for. That's what I loved about it.
It didn't.
Here's what we do for you. You know, so it was perfect.
Okay.
All right. I since we've gone through our whole agenda, I will entertain a motion to adjourn.
I so move.
I have a motion and a second. And all in favor say aye. Thank you very much.
Aye.